Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So Ryan Sprague, what do you think? Do you think that we could make UFOs into a threat sufficient to warrant an increase in the military budget?
Of course. I think it's very possible. You know, the United States always has a boogeyman. You know, there has to always be someone out there who poses a threat to us. It's always been that way, and it probably always will be for that exact reason, for finance, for financing the government, and for even independent contractors to make billions off of warfare. It's sad, but it's true. So could this be the next step, the next boogeyman? Nope, let's not go with Russia. Let's not go with China. We're going with outer space. So, yeah. I think it's understandable for people to lean that way when it comes to all this. But again, I just don't see why they would have to use something like this to up a budget of the military. They could easily just say, oh, we had a terrorist threat this week. We should probably, you know, look into that rather than taking the UFO route. I honestly think there are better things they could do to get funding for all of this. But look, I think Space Force is interesting. And it was bound to happen sooner or later. We do need to protect, you know, the outer reaches of our planet and the satellites we have out there that we use every day to have this conversation we're having to, you know, protect us, whether it's with cybersecurity and things like that. We need that. So I understand why our military would want to do that. But at the end of the day, I think we're really looking at a shift in how our government deals with the topic of UFOs. And a lot of that has to do with the individuals who were in the government, are now on the outside, and are willing to hold their colleagues and their constituents responsible for getting information out about this topic that clearly they haven't been forthright about for the past 75 plus years.
You know, what's interesting to me is the fact that we have former heads of the CIA become active as people who are saying we should get more information. And you think, you have the CIA, don't you know? What about Helen Carter, the first head of the CIA? He leaves the military. He joins his buddy and former classmate, Major Donald Kehoe, on NICAP and demanding more information. Then, we have Brennan, okay? We have Woolsey. And these two former heads of the CIA saying we need more information. They're impressed by what's going on. And again, if you're head of the CIA, how could you not know?
Right. And, you know, that debate has always been there. How much does the government know about the phenomena? And, you know, I tend to lean on the side of I don't think they know much. Mm-hmm. I honestly don't. And but what can they do? They can control the information that gets out to the public, and they can try to control the narrative. And maybe that is what we're seeing play out right now. But I think they tend to forget that these things have consequences and they have ripple effects. You know, while maybe the Pentagon might be looking at it one way, you now have NASA getting more involved now more than ever and wanting to look into the UAP topic. You have Harvard helping to fund the Galileo Project when it comes to Avi Loeb and trying to search for life elsewhere. So these things do have ripple effects that I see it as that dam breaking. You know, maybe they've controlled the narrative for a really long time and it kind of got out of their hands in the past few years. They've been caught red-handed, the Pentagon spokespeople, lying to the public about what ATIP looked at or who was in charge of it. And I think that comes from pressure from the public. I honestly do. I don't know where it's all heading, but yeah, I think what's most important is we're seeing a ripple effect specifically in the scientific community, a sort of a community that has shunned and ridiculed this topic for so long, but now you have very prominent people within those fields of physics and theoretical physics or techno signatures or what have you, now taking the topic seriously. And that's what I look forward to most, not what the Pentagon necessarily has to say about all this, but what our scientists have to say about it. And I trust them. I honestly do.
The thing I worry about when we talk about congressional hearings, to go back to that topic you mentioned earlier in the show, is you have some members of Congress who will ask questions and try to get real answers. Others who will posture before the microphone and tell stupid things. And I won't mention their names. You know who they are, ladies and gentlemen, whether you're liberal, conservative, Republican, Democrat, independent, whatever. There are several of those people who will just talk in a motor mouth fashion, say dumb things, and if they do that before a UFO hearing, it's going to become a circus, and that's what I worry about.
Yes, and we've seen that play out in every sort of serious conference that's happened. You look at the Disclosure Project, or you look at, the mock congressional hearings that occurred. There will always be, the very serious nature to it of these individuals who've worked at nuclear installations who had ordnance turned on or off during a UFO event. And then right next to them, you will have somebody saying that they know there's 98 different alien races out there and they've all communicated with us in different ways and this and that. So again, it's so hard when you're dealing with such an amorphous phenomena where anyone can shape it into the narrative they want. That's tough. It's really tough telling up from down, left from right. So I don't know, Gene. I think this topic, it transcends politics. It transcends religion. It transcends everything that kind of limits us here on our planet and really shakes things up. It's a rebellious phenomenon, to say the least, as our good friend Red Pill Junkie would say.
Yes, we had RPJ on the PowerCast just a few weeks ago. And by the way, when we get back to the politics of it, you have to look at this. We have people like Senator Marco Rubio, he's a conservative Republican. Former Representative John Ratcliffe, who was a DNI, a conservative Republican. And you have people who served in Democratic administrations, like Woolsey, who's had the CIA, I believe, under Clinton. Okay, and John Brennan, under Obama. So when you have this dichotomy of political beliefs and expectations, it becomes all the more interesting.
It is. And again, I think it's a bipartisan issue. I think a lot of, whether you lean right or left, a lot of these senators and representatives agree that this is interesting, this is highly unusual, and could possibly be a threat. So again, we've always had that sort of, I think, looming over the UFO topic since the beginning, is this topic brings people together more than it tears them apart. Yeah, we fight and bicker and argue on forums and on Twitter, but at the end of the day, we all just want answers to this topic, and it doesn't matter if you're talking to a conservative or a liberal. We want to know what these things are in our skies and what we need to do about it, if we can do anything about it.
What bothers me, though, is the UFO question is also being caught up in a very, very extreme movement that should have nothing to do about it. I'm not going to get into it because people get crazy when we talk about politics, but I think you know what I mean. We get some pretty crazy beliefs out there, and the UFOs get caught up in that, and that is very highly unfortunate. But then you have reasonable, responsible people who have served political positions, and when they say positive things, you wonder. But you also wonder, like, someone like President Clinton, President Obama, Secretary of State Clinton, all saying they don't know what's going on in the UFO business. Again, the president doesn't know. The head of the CIA doesn't know. The DNI, Director of National Intelligence, that's the big guy. That's the guy who should know all about this, what's happening in the intelligence world. All these people should know, and they do not know what the heck is going on there. Let's talk about that a bit more. The book is Somewhere in the Skies. Ryan Sprague is the author. Second edition is out there with Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Yes, the many voices of Tim Swartz. I understand in another lifetime he wanted to be Mel Blanc.
I was Mel Blanc in another life, too.
So I just wonder in this day and age, though, before we get on with the serious stuff, how many people even remember who Mel Blanc was? Okay?
Not me. That's why you hear the silence right there.
Okay, well, you've heard the voice in cartoons, the voice of Bugs Bunny, Porky Pig.
Okay.
Barney Rubble.
Barney Rubble on the Flintstones.
The Hanna-Barbera days.
More Warner Brothers.
Right.
Okay.
This is a man of a thousand voices. He was also an incredible actor and comedian. And his son, Noah Blank, is still alive.
Interesting. Runs in the family.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Go look up Mel Blanc and then watch YouTube videos of this guy. First, look at the interviews. He's a pleasant, easygoing guy. And he has this amazing comic timing and all this amazing stuff that he could do.
The real question, Gene, did he voice Marvin the Martian? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I think he did.
Oh, wow. Perfect for this conversation.
It makes me so angry.
Hey, he's probably more angry now that we finally are on his planet, right?
Okay, so one of the versions of Marvin the Martian was indeed voiced by Mel Blanc.
Perfect.
He was the originator of the character. He did it from 1948 through 1989.
Mm. Oh, that's amazing.
Well, you know, interesting thing about Mel Blanc is that we were talking earlier about people who sustained injuries. Mel Blanc had been in a car accident at one point and was in a coma. The doctors didn't think he was going to come out of it, but his son started talking to him, asking questions to, say, like Bugs Bunny and some of his characters, and got Mel to start responding in those voices. And that's what helped pull him out of his coma.
Wow. That's you can't make that stuff up. That's just like, again, it unlocks something in the mind, I think, that, you know, was subconsciously there for so long in his work and everyday life that maybe that is the only thing that could bring him out of it. That's amazing. I love hearing that story.
He broke nearly every bone in his body, Mel Blanc, as he was recovering, was actually doing some of his voices from the hospital bed.
Oh, wow. That's dedication right there. That is a true artist through and through.
I think, wasn't he also on, Gene? He was a character actor on the Jack Benny show.
Yes, and that's where you get to see him if you look at the Jack Benny TV show. What a great comedy actor he was, because he had this tremendous timing. And he played so many different characters, but if you know his voice, almost every character he played, there was a slight element in that voice that said, "This is Mel Blanc." As great as the characters were, as different as they were, from Elmer Fudd to Bugs Bunny, all this stuff, Barney Rubble, there was that slight bit of texture that said Mel Blanc, that individuality.
Right. And again, that's when you sort of transcend your craft. And there's so many of those individuals out there. You know, I'm thinking of like Hank Azaria, who voiced how many people on The Simpsons and whatnot. Like they will always be known for something other than their face on camera. And there's so many of those actors out there that you will never really know their name, but you'll see them immediately and be like, oh, yeah. They've been in 300 movies that I've seen. Those are the true hard workers out there, in my opinion. They don't want the notoriety. They don't want to be on the cover of every magazine. They're just out there doing their job. There's something very admirable about that, I think.
As I said, I'm looking at it now. Noah Blanc is retired, but he had done many of the original voices that his dad taught him, or that he learned from listening to his dad.
Taught by the best.
Yes, indeed. I don't know how we get started with this thing about the voices. Maybe Mel Blanc was an E.T.
Yeah.
Okay, folks? He was an E.T. He was a representative from another planet. But let's get back to the thing we were talking about at the beginning here that I started, which is if a president, a former president, doesn't know what's going on with UFOs and says we should get some answers, a former head of the CIA, Director of National Intelligence, someone in the Defense Secretary's office like Christopher Mellon, All these people were insiders. How can these insiders not know?
Again, for me, Gene, at least, I think they don't know. I don't know if anyone has the answers. And, you know, just because we might know what happened in Roswell or we might know what happened in Rendlesham doesn't mean we know what happened in every other UFO case throughout history. So if the standing president or presidents of the past never had that need to know, or even, you know, the head of the CIA, that's where I really lean towards. I don't think they know what is going on. That's troubling in many different ways. So either we deny it's happening, which I think is what they've done in the past, or we deny that it ever happened. I don't know. It's very hard. It's a very hard question to navigate in terms of who knows, who has the right to know, and this, that, this, and that. But look, I think we're heading in a good direction when it comes to the openness of many within government to talk about this topic, which is, again, made up of thousands and thousands of people. We always go to that capital G, the government knows or the government doesn't know, or this is their agenda. But it's made up of thousands of people with different beliefs, different agendas. You know, the guy right next to you might not even know what you're working on. And we hear that a lot, too. So there's a lot of stovepiping that goes on, too. So, yeah.
That's true, but I don't know what I'm working on. I don't know what I'm working on. So how could you know?
Exactly.
Think about that. Yeah, but seriously speaking, I also look at the UFO thing as, well, we don't know what this is, and it doesn't fit within the four corners of my job, so forget about it. Okay,
right. And
you have bureaucrats with specific assignments, people in the military with specific assignments, and they're taught to look at A, B, C, and D. And then Q comes over, and not the guy played by John D. Lancey, but some unexplained thing, or maybe the guy from Q. But whatever it is, something strange occurs. It doesn't fit within their framework, within their job description. So what do you do? Do you make a big deal of it? Or do you say, out of sight, out of mind, I don't want to know. Don't tell me about that UFO unless it's something conventional. I don't want to know about it because then I have to write a report.
Right. And I think that's what we saw play out in this preliminary assessment by the Pentagon. Whoever put this thing together, this was not their priority within the position they held. This was something they did after a 8-hour day at the office at the Pentagon. They got to go home and then deal with this UFO thing.
Let's deal with these things. Ryan, yeah. Gene, Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News. I'm Brad Bernards. A plane flying from the Turkish resort of Antalya to Vladivostok in Russia's far east made a safe emergency landing on Saturday in the Siberian city of Krasnoyarsk, a source at the airport told Reuters. Azur Air Flight ZF-268, a Boeing 767, was experiencing problems with the hydraulics, Russia's Interfax news agency reported. There were no reports of anyone being hurt. Famed attorney Gloria Allred on Saturday argued on Newsmax about Texas' strict new abortion law.
At 6 weeks, a woman can no longer get an abortion in Texas, and a fetus is not viable. In other words, cannot live outside of the womb at 6 weeks. Therefore, it is unconstitutional and also creates bounty hunters.
This is USA Radio News. They promised to be inclusive, but as the Taliban unveiled their new caretaker government in Afghanistan this week, an all-male roster of hardline clerics, veteran fighters, and at least one figure sought by the FBI, they met howls of protest in Washington. Through edicts and gunfire, the Islamist militia is cementing its control over Afghanistan, raising questions about whether the United States and other nations should formally recognize its rule. During an interview with MSNBC aired on Saturday, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin says it will be more difficult without boots on the ground in Afghanistan, but not impossible.
We demonstrate on a daily basis that there's no place on this planet that we can't reach out and touch when we need to. The issue will be making sure that we maintain a laser focus on networks and adversaries' capabilities.
This is USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Tim Swartz is our guest co-host this week. I'm Gene Steinberg. Our guest is Ryan Sprague. And as you point out, the Pentagon UAP Task Force report, maybe somebody wrote it at the end of the day. Maybe it was the interns. It is very, very badly written. It doesn't show a lot of attention and care. It's as if the people who did it were not the people who cared.
Mm-hmm. And again, it screamed to me that they don't have the resources to properly investigate this, which they fully admit. They don't even have the technology to do it either, which was a strong admittance, I think, within this report, is we literally don't have the capacity to truly understand what we're dealing with. And again, what I think this says is we need a larger group dedicated to actually focusing on this topic. And we know that's what the Department of Defense is going to be doing. This task force, they had a task and they did it. They put this out, what was requested of them, nothing more, nothing less. But now we're seeing that within the next authorization act, this is going to become a 90-day thing, quarterly thing, where we're going to get a report from, or I should say, not we're, the members of Congress are going to be getting a report on what's going on with UFOs, what they've uncovered. It's also broadening the spectrum of who they're going to be looking at. You know, now they're going to be talking to the FAA. They're going to be talking to NASA. They're going to be talking to a lot of organizations that were not a part of this preliminary assessment. So I think that's exciting. You know, they're broadening the scope, opening up the conversation with more organizations. And I look forward to what might come next when it comes to all that.
What bothers me about the whole thing, though, is the tunnel vision. The first report is focusing on these naval sightings, and everyone knows that UFOs have been in the media since the 1940s.
Yeah, we know that the report was only within the last, what they say, 7-8 years of incidents. I think the Tic Tac event was the furthest back that they went. So you're right, Gene. I mean, there's 70-plus years of baggage when it comes to this topic in cases that are not being implemented into what we might be dealing with. And that goes for future cases as well. So, again, that's why I think this is good that we're opening it up to more, to the possibilities of not just the Navy, Army, the Marines, or the Air Force. So, I think they look at it from a very strict military way, but I think broadening that scope is really going to open it up to a lot more. And eventually, hopefully with the public, like I said earlier, that data needs to be a part of their assessment. It's fine you had 144 cases you looked at that were military over restricted airspace, and you were able to explain one of those cases. That's a little troubling, in my opinion, but that's, again, just a small portion of what we might be dealing with.
So now, what would you say to young UFO investigators who are coming up, who maybe have no other knowledge except for the UFOs that happened with the Tic Tac, and since then? And as you said, I mean, you know, we have decades and decades of UFO information out there. What would you say to them to help them open their eyes to look at the bigger picture?
That's such a good question. You know, we always think like our generation is the one to make a grand discovery. We were the first to think about this. And, you know, I see that play out on Twitter a lot, actually. You know, this social media platform that a lot of young people use to communicate in different ways. And every day I have someone on Twitter coming to me and be like, oh my gosh, I just found this case that happened in 2006 over Chicago O'Hare Airport. Has anyone ever talked about this? Yes, we've been through it a million times. And look, I was that person for so long, Tim. You know, I'd bring something to the table and be like, oh my God, this is revelatory. And it was for me, but it wasn't for the old guard. So I think it's important that we not immediately just brush these people off, these younger people getting involved as naive, or shame them for not knowing every specific case that's come before and the date when it happened, who was involved, because they're learning. There comes a time where everyone is learning at a different pace, at a different level. They're just discovering this topic. I think we need to be patient when it comes to that, you know, instead of saying you're an idiot or you clearly didn't do your research. Give them time to do that. I think Lou Elizondo said of the Pentagon people looking into this, like, don't be surprised if you know more than they do about this, because you've been studying this for your whole life. This is new to them. They're trying to play catch up. So I think it's really important to proactively support the younger people getting involved with this. Know that they're going to bring up stuff that you know has either been proven a hoax or is still undecided. And just give them that room to learn, and just as I did. You know, there's many times I had to change my mind and approach to things, as they will as well. So, yeah, I think we just need to be patient and a lot more kind to those who are just getting involved. And it's happening every day, and it's happening rapidly. It's incredible how many younger people I see every day hopping on to this topic and excited about it, because they come from a generation that thinks, you know, alien life out there, it's a given for them, where it wasn't for a lot of us growing up and decades before. It was smirked at and ridiculed, but we live in an age where a lot of our scientists are saying, oh yeah, it's out there. It's definitely out there. Whether it's come here or not, that's the real question. So, yeah, I think we just have to have patience and know that this is a gradual process of disclosure and discovery. And we might never get to the end point, but we're going to meet a lot of new people along the way, and that's exciting for me.
One thing we haven't really touched on very much is disclosure. I mean, people going back to the days of Major Donald Kehoe, more recently Stephen Bassett, suggesting the government has guilty knowledge of what UFOs are. They're hiding the truth from us. I guess they're hiding the truth from former high-level officials in the government. Do you think at all that the secret is already there somewhere? There is some agency or group that has it?
To an extent. I mean, I think there's definitely people with more knowledge than the public has, or certain whatever intelligence agencies or whatnot. But I don't believe that there is going to be some grand disclosure someday. The whole prototypical UFO on the White House lawn scenario. It's a process, Gene. If there's anything we're learning now, it's that process is going to, for every step forward, there'll be three back and so forth. It's messy. It's muddy. No one ever said disclosure would be easy or exciting. It could be a very gradual, boring journey to finally get to those answers we've always sought, if we ever get to those answers, whether we like them or not. So, yeah, I think, you know, disclosure has already happened for a lot of people out there. The U.S. government acknowledged the UFO topic in a way they never have before, and that's very big. But I think for that, every one of those, the people having these experiences, seeing things, reporting things, coming into contact with things, that's disclosure for them at least. So, yeah, I don't see this as some big thing that we're all working towards to finally get all the answers. I think it's a personal journey for everyone involved, and we all want different answers out of these mysteries.
So there's no truth embargo.
I know Steve Bassett might, beg to differ, but no, I don't think there is some grand truth embargo. I'm sure there's some things that are left unsaid or unacknowledged for national security purposes, obviously. But yeah, I don't think there's some grand sweeping embargo on everything the government knows about UFOs, because I know I sound like a broken record. I don't think they truly know what we're dealing with. I don't.
We're trying to make the government too competent. In any case, we have Ryan Sprague, Gene Steinberg, and Tim Swartz. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today, and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite, and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better, and it lowered my blood pressure, and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So again, we're trying to make the government more competent than it is, and if it is a matter of out of sight, out of mind, it may have taken all this just to get them to look at something that's been going on for so many years. This is our final segment with Ryan Sprague, but he will be back with After the Paracast, where I'm going to focus very much on his belief systems. I'm warning him now and warning you listeners, if you're not a member of the Paracast Plus, where we're going to go and how we're going to get there. Tim, you had some final questions to ask.
More of a comment, I suppose, on the whole disclosure thing. As Brian said, if there was, say, like this, you know, big press conference given where, you know, the president would, you know, come forward and say, yes, you know, we have evidence of extraterrestrial life, you know, here's one now, and, you know, bring them up to the podium and talk. Considering the current situations and distrust and everything, I don't know if people would actually believe it or not.
Tim, that's such a keen observation. We you know, right now, you know, everyone's like, oh my gosh, government has told us UFOs exist, and we're willing to just buy into it so immediately when, you know, for the past 75 years, we haven't trusted their opinion on this topic or what they know. So it's ironic in some ways. And I think you're right. We do live in an age now, unfortunately, of conspiracy theory and critical thinking sort of going out the door in some respects. And a lot of people don't trust the government, don't trust our scientists to know what they're talking about or what's best for us. And I understand that to an extent, but I still have faith that, you know, at the end of the day, our government does want the best for their people. So do our scientists. But it is hard. It's very hard to trust a government who kind of for the last 70 plus years has lied to us about certain aspects of the UFO issue and has covered certain things up. They may say it was for the good of us, but a lot of people would probably beg to differ on that as well. So, yeah, a very good observation, I think, on your part there.
The government has lied to us about lots of things. They lied us into the Vietnam War. I don't care whether you're a conservative or liberal. You have to admit that they lied. They lied us into the second Iraqi War. They more or less lied into the war in Afghanistan. So we have governments from both political parties lying to get us into conflicts that we shouldn't be in, and we expect them to tell the truth about UFOs. And part of the thing is, in this polarized atmosphere, is, say, the current president, Joseph Biden, gets up there and says UFOs are spaceships. one half of one political party does not believe he's a legitimate president. So what do you do with that? How do you handle that? Forget about the belief system. How do you handle that? If he brought E.T. up on stage, they think it was a Hollywood special effect.
Exactly. And that's hard, Gene. I mean, you can't put the genie back in the bottle. We live in an age now where no one trusts the news, no one trusts the leaders, and I can't pretend to have an answer for that. What do you do? It's going to continue to grow, that mistrust. All I can hope for is that our government is looking out for us and are protecting us as citizens, and we can then go on and do our own research when it comes to this topic. You know, I don't think anyone should be buying into 100% of everything Christopher Mellon says, or Luis Elizondo, or Stephen Greer, or any of these people out there.
Especially Stephen Greer.
Right. So I always tell people, don't put all your eggs in one basket when it comes to any of this. Do your own research. Come to your own conclusions. And I've talked to Greg Bishop about this all the time. This is a very selfish field to be in, not in terms of ego or you know, wanting to be famous or you're right, I'm wrong. But you want to know the answers to the UFO mystery because either A, you've had an experience, or B, you just want to know for curiosity's sake before you leave this mortal coil. So I think it is a very selfish journey, and I don't mean that in a bad way, of wanting to know the answers to all this. So I always tell people, get into it for your own reasons. Don't buy into one way of thinking when it comes to all this, and do your own research, whatever that might mean to you.
At the end of the day, remember, the real answer to UFOs may be in the hands of the force behind the UFOs.
We are on the phenomena's timetable. I believe that wholeheartedly. If there is ever a disclosure, it'll come at the hands of what we might be dealing with. I honestly believe that as well.
So it's always possible here that the force behind the UFOs may decide one day, assuming it's E.T., and I don't know, we're going to ask Brian in our next segment more about his theories because we haven't focused on that so much here. If UFOs or E.T., they hold the cards. They can decide to come down here and land and make their presence known in a public way. I mean, not that it isn't public just having UFOs flying about the skies, but I mean legitimately coming and saying, take us to your leader or not.
Yes, and what do you do when you deal with when you're dealing with a phenomenon that doesn't seem to care about borders of countries or borders of planets or who a leader is? These ideas of if something were to come here, it would shake the very foundation of everything we've built throughout centuries now when it comes to countries, nations, everything. That's a big problem when it comes to the government and military dealing with something that doesn't care about those sorts of things. And again, that could be taken many different ways, but I don't think these UFOs or whatever intelligence lay behind them truly care who we've elected into office or who we hold to high esteem here on our planet. So it will really, really make us look back at ourselves, I think, if that were ever to happen and we discover what these phenomena truly represent. It's going to be a lot of inward looking at who we are, where we've been, what we're doing, and where we're going next, Gene. I honestly believe that.
Do you think we're going to have an answer in our lifetime?
Maybe an answer, but again, I don't think we're dealing with one source or whatever lay at the source of these phenomena. You know, I always go back to people like Stanton Friedman, who passed away leaving a UFO conference where he gave a talk he gave 50-plus years ago. And we're no closer to an answer than we were before, and neither was he. So you do have to wonder, and a lot of these people in the field finally pass on, are they now getting the answers they always sought? I hope so. I truly do hope so. But every generation of UFO researcher has left not knowing the answers to it, at least to the level that I think a lot of us would hope for. I might get some answers along the way, And I might not like those answers, but I'm going to keep trying, and I'm going to keep having conversations like we're having today where we can ask these questions. Because, again, what is more important in life than truly knowing why we're here and is there life out there? Two of the biggest questions. And hopefully we'll get closer to some of those answers, to those very profound queries. I don't know.
Hey, tell our listeners quickly, Ryan, where they can find more of your stuff.
Absolutely. Everything I do, Gene, can always be found at Somewhere in the Skies, which is the name of my podcast, my books. And, you know, I write articles over at The Debrief, so you can always find my work over there at The Debrief. And like I said, I run a weekly show just like you guys at the Paracast called Somewhere in the Skies. You can find that everywhere. Podcasts are sold and listened to. And you can look for me on the upcoming season of Mysteries Decoded as well on the CW network.
You can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. Check us out on Facebook. Again, the Paracast with several different sections. You can get branded merchandise, Paracast logos and other goodies, T-shirts, the jackets, everything. Go to theparacast.shop, theparacast.shop. Also check out the Paracast Plus at theparacast.plus, where we offer this show free of the network ads. And we also offer the After the Paracast podcast, where we've roped Brian Sprague in to hang out with us for a little more discussion on different aspects of the paranormal. It's included with your subscription to the Paracast Plus, the Paracast.plus, the place to go. If you order a lifetime subscription, use the coupon code UFO20 to get 20% off the Paracast.plus. Ryan Sprague, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
My absolute pleasure. It's so good to stretch out and have these conversations. So thank you, Gene. Thank you, Tim. It was my pleasure, truly.
Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.